Here we go. Genesis chapter 12. The three ships we're going to try to combine that are similar are the kinship, and that's going to be Genesis chapter number 12, the kinship, the friendship, and the partnership. And these are similar ships, and I'll tell you why here in just a minute. And we're going to talk about a few things here on these ships and trust God to work in our hearts and our midst. Amen. How many of y'all have kinfolk? Everybody here's got kinfolk. Amen. That's what we're talking about. We talk about kinship. And it is the definition of kinship is a connection by heredity, marriage. My wife is my kin now. Amen. Brother Wilkerson, your wife is your kin now. Amen. It's a connection by heredity, marriage, blood, or adoption. It's a family relationship or connection, kin or kindred. And that's what kinship is. Genesis chapter 12, verse number 1, and notice what God tells Abraham here, verse number 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy who? Kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. By the way, sometimes God does tell you to get away from your kin. Sometimes. Not often, but he does tell you to get away from kinfolk sometime. Father, bless now these next moments as we try to look at several aspects of kinship and friendship and partnership. Lord, I pray that you might bless, continue to watch over us and guide, direct, and lead in the next moments that we have together. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Kinship. All right. Talking about abiding into ship. There is... I did turn it on. All right. There is something to be said about kinfolk. Amen. How many of y'all got kinfolk that you really have not seen in a long time? Amen. I've got some kinfolk I've not seen in a long time. How many got some kinfolk you don't want to see for another long time? Amen. And that happens too. Amen. Sometimes you got some kinfolk that you think distance is the best thing about that relationship. Amen. And you say, if we don't meet each other, at least we can say we have met before. Amen. But kinship, it's a connection by heredity, marriage, blood, or adoption. It's a family relationship or connection. Now, friendship, notice the definition for friendship. It says this, it's a kind relationship. Kinship is a family relationship. Friendship, then, is a kind relationship shared between people that trust and rely on each other. And then partnership is a cooperative relationship. So you got three relationships here, a family relationship and kinship, a kind relationship and friendship where you rely on each other, and then partnership, a cooperative relationship between people or groups who agree to share responsibility for achieving a specific goal. So you got those three ships. I'm going to talk about these just briefly here. I'm not sure how far we'll get, but we're going to try and do our debt level best. Amen. Notice here in Genesis chapter 12, verse number 1, God is telling Abram to get away from his kindred. Now, why would God tell Abram to get away from his kindred? Anybody got any suggestions? Why would he do that? Didn't have a heart for God? Okay, could be his family members didn't have a heart for God. Could have hindered God's plan for him. Amen. Yeah, Jerry, did we get you? Could be. Amen, Joshua. Probably wicked. Amen. It could be. Is it difficult to do things around wicked kinfolk? It is. It becomes increasingly tough. They pull on you and they tug at you. Lot was vexed, according to the Bible, by the unrighteous deeds of Sodom. And so it is difficult. Now, by the way, notice how the Bible reads there in verse 12, because I've heard some commentaries say that God had already spoken to Abraham and told him to get out, and he didn't. Notice it says, now the Lord had said unto Abram. And they look at that, and some commentaries believe that Abram was told originally, get out, and he didn't get out. Now, I don't know if that's true or not. It could be, amen. But if God tells you to get out, should you get out? Oh, yeah. Yes, should you get out. Now, what does Genesis chapter 2 say about the father, the husband? Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and what is he going to do? He's going to cleave or get glued to his wife, and they're going to go away oftentimes and establish their own household. Amen. And so we do know that that is a command of God, that I shouldn't marry my wife and move in with my mom and dad. That's not a good practice. Amen. Why is that a bad practice, to marry my wife and move in with my mom and dad? Amen. And by the way, if I've got a wife, who am I supposed to be listening to? Wife or mom?
Wife.
Wife. Who do you think I would probably listen to if I moved in with mom? Brother Hall, my mama's got a shoe too. My mama's got a belt too. And my mom would probably get on me too. And there would be some conflict there, I assure you, as newlyweds. Amen. I've only known Mrs. Dawson for 2-3 years, but I've known mom for 20 years. And I think mom's probably going to have a little bit of pull, a little bit of saying about that. Amen. And so it behooves me to marry her and to leave mom and dad and to cleave to my wife and move to Cleveland or somewhere. Amen. You know? So I can get away, amen. But my family all picked at me. They said, you married Carmen. You moved all the way out to the West Coast. What was wrong with Illinois? It's cold. And plus, I didn't do it. Then Uncle Sam moved me. They said, but then you went to Belgium, even further away. What'd you do? I didn't do it. God moved me over there. They said, then you stayed 11 years. What about that? Well, I guess I had something to say about that one. Amen. Sometimes it's difficult to be around kinfolk. Amen. And I tell you what's the truth. Abraham had to move away to get some things. And by the way, did he take some baggage with him? Who did he take with him? Lot. Did Lot get him into trouble sometimes? Yeah, he did. He did. But kinship, amen. One of the first things I want to tell you about this thing called kinship is that at times we may have to remove from them. We know at marriage we need to remove from them. It needs to happen. I've got to establish my own household. Now, can I be in the same city? Yes, I can be in the same city. Can I be in the same town, the same state? Yes, 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 and yes. Can I even be next door? Yeah, I could. I really could. Amen. And I can borrow all the food from them. Amen. I really could. Now, is that smart? It depends on the individual. It depends on the individual. It depends on the couple. It depends on the people. It depends on them and their stand with Jesus Christ. If anybody hinders you from doing anything, guess what you got to do? You got to move. Amen. And so when you look at kinship or this connection by heredity, marriage, blood, or adoption, this family relationship or kindred or kinfolk, at times I may have to remove from them. What is it good for me to do or have if I remove? What kind of relationship do I want to have if I remove?
Josh?
A good one. Why do I want to have a good one? Immediate conflict. There was a guy that had some conflict with his kinfolk. Anybody know who that was in Genesis besides Joseph? Jacob. Go all the way over to chapter number 30. Chapter 31, there was a guy that had some problems with his kinfolk. Did Jacob leave Esau in good terms or bad terms? Bad terms. And it's bad when God tells you to go back to face someone that you had a problem with. Think about that. You just had a spat with your brother or your sister or your mother or your father. And then God says, now go back and see him. What are you going to say? Well, God, is there another relative that I can see? Is there another kinfolk that I can see? Genesis 31, notice that verse number 3, because God tells him something here. It says, and the Lord said unto Jacob, do what? Return unto thy land of thy fathers and to thy who? Kindred, and I will be with thee. The one good thing about that, God said, I'm sending you there, but guess what? I'm going with you. How many of y'all got big brother? Good to have big brother, isn't it? When you go face somebody, big brother can be behind you. Yeah, I'm here. What about it? Got my back. I had big sister. That don't help. That don't help. Big brothers help. But big sisters, you sissy, wait till she's not around, we're going to get you. So I could never pull that. But God said, hey, look, now I want you to go back. You know, it's important to keep a good relationship with our family because God may have us go back. We may have to return at some time. Amen. By the way, God may call me back to Joliet, Illinois to plant a church in Joliet, Illinois. I hope not. He may have us go back to New Jersey. I hope not. But he might. I wouldn't have a problem going back to New Jersey and start a church, other than the fact that I don't want to go back to New Jersey and start a church. Amen. I wouldn't have a problem going back to Joliet, Illinois to start a church, other than I don't want to go back to Joliet, Illinois. But I would have no problem looking at any of my kinfolk in the face and saying, hey, look, would you come to my church? Hey, would you come over here? God's called me to plant this church, and I want you guys to come over. I would have no problem going to New Jersey to all the kinfolk and telling them why. The relationship is good. What am I saying? In this kinship, we want to make sure that we continue to abide in the ship with a good relationship. Are some relatives hard to get along with? Yes, you say this white, they say it's black. You say yes, they say no. You say hot, they say cold. And you think, what is wrong with you? You want to argue about everything. Yeah, I do. Well, at least we agree on something. Oh, no, I don't want to agree about it. And that's how they are. They just, they're on you. And there's some kinfolk like that. Whatever you say, it's the opposite. And you've got, what do you do with a kinfolk like that? Stay away as much as possible. Well, you got to come around them sometime, amen? You got to be as loving as you can, understanding as you can, amen? By the way, children, you guys are building your kinship relationship now with each other. And if you don't get along now, how do you think it's going to be when you get older? You beat up on each other now, how do you think it's going to be older? Amen? Yeah, Gary? That's bad, brother. That's bad. Amen. And you don't want to argue with the stop sign. The stop sign is always going to win. Amen. I mean, it's always going to win. That's just the way it is. Amen. You know, and I'll be honest with you. I've had some kinships that were rocky. And I got saved. And guess what God told me to do? Return unto thy kindred. And guess what I had to do? I had to get some things right with some kinships. Because I was like Jacob and Esau. I parted bad ways. Then God saved my soul. And God said, now what you going to do? I got to see these people again. And I'm so glad that God dealt with my heart and did a work in my heart that I could go back and forgive. And even when people didn't ask for me to forgive them, I forgave them anyway. And I said, you know what? I remember this situation. And it's okay. It's okay. Some folks saw me coming. Uh-oh. I thought he buried the hatchet. Nah, I come to bury it, all right. And some folks saw me coming. And they were like, uh-oh, what's he going to do? You know, they start bracing. You know, you see them curling their knuckles up like this. You know? Oh my God. Like, I didn't come to fight, man. I'm saved now. Oh, what does that mean? I said, I'm a Christian. I follow Jesus Christ now. And so I'm not the same man that I used to be. And what a blessing it is when it comes to this kinship. I just want to say this. At times, we have to remove from them. But at times, God's going to cause us to return to them. And we want to make sure that the relationship is what it needs to be. Because God is going to do something with that. Amen. So kinship. Abide in the kinship. Work very, very hard at being Christ-like with all the relationships that you have with your kinfolk. Amen. Are some hard to get along with? Yeah, they are. Are some just mean for no reason at all? Some are. Do some get on your nerves? Yeah, they do. But guess what? You get on some of their nerves, too. I know I got on even my mother's nerves when I came home. I told everybody, you need to be saved. Y'all going to split hell wide open. Amen. If you ain't right with God, you're going to turn or burn. Y'all all going to hell. And my mother's like, boy, what's wrong with you? Mom, I'm concerned about y'all. Well, you could show your concern in a different way. You could use a little more tact. I'm like, well, how tactful can you be with hell, Mom? That's where y'all going to go if you don't get right with God. And I was serious as a heart attack. And the relationship and the kinship, although they couldn't disown me as their son, I really put a rift in the relationship for several years. There's a reason why God had me in Belgium. I had to go over there and calm down and bake and simmer a while. Because when I came out the oven, I was on fire. And God says, son, you need to get a little bit more about yourself and get right. Amen. And so when it comes to kinship, sometimes we can do damage, but other times people can do damage to us. And we've got to make sure we abide in the kinship in a way that's going to please the Lord Jesus Christ. Abraham was told to get away from his kinfolk, and Jacob was brought right back to his. And so make sure the relationship is what it needs to be. But in friendship here, just for a moment, go over to Proverbs 22 and verse 24. Friendship. What is friendship? It's a kind relationship shared between people that trust and rely on each other. Are there good friends and bad friends? Yes, there are good friends and bad friends. A kind relationship shared between people that trust and rely on each other. Can a friend be for you 1 minute and against you the next minute? It's possible. A true friend, though, should not be that way. A true friend should not be that way. A true friend should be with you through thick and thin. Now, I've had some people in my life that I'll tell you, I don't know how they stuck with me, but they did. Why? A true friend. And by the way, you don't have to be a friend of someone else for them to be a friend of you. Okay? So just because you say that person is my friend, they say, well, I'm not your friend. You can do everything that a friend does for them, and you can call them their friend, and they don't have to call you friend. Amen. And so keep that in mind. But now let's notice something here about friendship here. Notice what it says in verse number 24 in chapter 22. Make no what? Friendship with an angry man, with a furious man, thou shalt not go. There are some friends that you need to remove from and give them space. Amen. An angry friend can do you a lot of damage and a lot of damage. Did I say that twice? Danger and damage. Danger and damage, amen. We saw the video on the angry person way back when, amen. But make no friendship with an angry man. I've got to remove from this type of person. What kind of damage can that person do to me? Cause me to get angry, that's right. What else can they do to me? Threaten me? They could. They could give me some emotional damage. They could hurt my feelings. They could say things that they really don't mean in a heat of rage and anger. Have you ever been angry before? Have you said some things that they went out, you wish you could take them back? Maybe husband to wife, maybe child to parent, maybe parent to child, maybe friend to friend. There's some things that you maybe said and you thought, man, I was just angry and I was upset. And by the way, you can never more get those things back. You can't. You know, all the things that I said back to my family back in those days when I was on fire for God. And man, I wish I could take some of those things back. Because if I could rephrase it and repackage it and refine it, they might accept it a little better. And so the Bible says, remove from this type of person. Make no friendship with an angry man, with a furious man, thou shalt not go. What else does the Bible say about who I need to remove from? Go to James chapter 4 and verse 4. Most of you guys know this verse already. And so abiding in the friendship, it's a kind relationship shared between people that trust and rely on each other. James 4, 4. What type of friend should I not have? Maybe this angry person I shouldn't have as my best bosom friend and companion. But then James 4, 4. And notice what it says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that, what does that word say? Friendship of the world is what? Enmity with God. And so I need to remove from these worldly friendships. Friendship of the world is enmity with God. Whosoever there should be a what? A friend of the world is the enemy of God. What can a worldly friend do to me? How can they damage me or injure me? A worldly friend. Cause me to do things against God. By the way, is everything in the world sin? No. No. I mean, donuts are in the world. How many of y'all eat donuts? Cereal is in the world. I mean, your shoes are in the world. I mean, you can't. Everything in the world is not sin. But there are certain things that can distract me away from God. And worldly friends will normally cater to that distraction. They're not going to go towards the things of God. Why? It says there, it's enmity with God. It's hatred with God. They're against those things. So they're not going to encourage me in that direction. So when I'm looking at this friendship here, a kinship is a connection by heredity, marriage, blood, or adoption. It's a family relationship. Friendship then is a kind relationship shared between people that trust and rely on each other. By the way, if a friend sees a friend going astray, what would a good friend do? Jerry? Help him get right. Are they going to indulge in his or her sin? No, they shouldn't, but they should do everything in their power to pull this one out of their sin. Amen. They're not going to condone, whoa, you're a good sinner. No. They're going to say, that's terrible. You ought to remove from that. And they're going to stick by the stuff. Amen. Notice Proverbs 17 and verse 17. Proverbs 17, 17. So we've got to remove from certain folks, amen, certain folks that are not good friends. But then we need to rely on certain folks. Proverbs 17 and verse 17. Rely on certain folks. Proverbs 17 and verse 17. And who's there got that one? Can read it for me. Terrell? A friend loved at all times. So when should a friend not love? But should I not love them?
Oh, no, you should always love
them. I should always love them. Don't you like mothers? Mothers seem to love and love and love and love. I've done some things, but my mom said, boy, now you know I love you. I do something, my dad be like, boy, where's the, don't you know I love you? Boy, go over to mom. Now you do that, don't you? I love you. Go back over there. Boy, where's that loving at all times, dad? Mothers seem to just love and pour out love and love and love. And no matter what they get, I mean, kids can kick them in the shin. Yo, I love you. Don't you do that, Johnny. I'll whoop you too. Amen. But they seem to always pour out that love, that love. That's what the friend, no matter what you do, the friend's supposed to love. Notice what he says. A friend loveth how many times? At all times. Is there a time when a friend doesn't love? No. And a brother is born for adversity. And so I need to rely on my friend, and I need to be a friend that can love at all times. Is it hard to love at all times? Yes. That's why we need the love of Jesus Christ. He loved Judas Iscariot to the very end. He called him friend. He called him friend to the very end. Wow. Now that's love. Now, would you love someone that was going to betray you and sell you out and sell for 30 pieces of silver on top of that? At least put the ante up some. I'm worth more than that. But he loved them to the end. So a friend loved it all the time. And then over in chapter 18 and verse 24, chapter 18 and verse number 24. And notice what the Bible says there. One chapter over. Who's got that one? It says my page is stuck together. Jerry, read that one.
A man that has friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother.
Have you noticed that mean people normally don't have a lot of friends around them? But friendly people seem to have a lot of friends. I mean, they've got that smile and people are attracted to them. While you sit over like this, well, I don't have any friends. Because you look like the Grinch. I don't want to be friends with the Grinch. The dog, I'll take the dog. But the Grinch, I mean, who wants to have him? Yeah, here's my buddy, the Grinch. Let me introduce him. Nice. I mean, that's not, no, I don't think so. But a man that has friends must show himself friendly. So if I'm going to be a friend, have some people in my friendship, then I've got to be friendly. Amen. And kind and compassionate. Now, everybody can't be a people person. Now, Pastor Bennett, he is a people person. No, everybody likes Pastor Bennett. I mean, everybody likes him. And I thought, man, how does everybody like him? And he picks at people and gets on them. I mean, he says things to them like they said, man, I got a headache. He said, brother, if I had a head look like yours, it'd hurt too. I'm thinking, how can you say stuff like that and get away with it? And he says, and people are like, oh, that's what, if I said that, they ready to shoot me. He's friendly. He's friendly. And you can get away with that when you're friendly. When you're not friendly, they will hang you. Amen. So he says down there, a man that has friends must show himself friendly. Another thing I like about a friend, not only do you rely upon this friend, but remain true to this type of friend. Notice chapter 27. Chapter 27. Remain true. And this is one thing that you've got to honor about a friend. They will always tell you the truth. Proverbs 27, and notice what it says down there in verse number 6. Faithful are the wounds of a who? Friend. They're going to tell you whether you like it or not because they know you need to hear it. Now, don't be a fair weather friend and say, well, I don't want to hurt their feelings. Then you're not going to be a real true friend. Sometimes the truth hurts. This book here is full of truth. Is Jesus our friend?
Yes.
Do some of the things that he say hurt?
Yes.
He calls us a sinner. He calls us wicked. He says, you're a liar. And it hurts. Do we get mad at him? Sometimes we do. Amen. He calls us God robbers and we don't do right. But guess what? Faithful are the wounds of a friend. A true friend is going to tell the truth. And they're going to say, you know what? I don't really know how to put this, but let me do the best I can. And a friend normally tries to preface things to try to make it not come down on you so hard. Why? They love you and they care for you. A friend loveth at all times. But at the same time, a true friend has got to be faithful and they've got to tell you the truth. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. The one thing that you don't want to be is a friend that cannot tell the truth to his friend. You want to be able to tell. Start practicing now and say, I want to be truthful. I want to be true. I want to make sure I'm telling the truth. And I know none of us like to hurt somebody else's feelings. At least we shouldn't. If you like hurting somebody's feelings, there's something wrong with you. Amen. Nobody should like to hurt other people's feelings. You know, parents have to tell their children some hard things sometimes. But you know what? God didn't call us to be friends to our children. He called us to be parents. And so sometimes we have to say things that are hard. And my mother had told me some things that just cut me. I thought I was cut in half. You know, I thought I just fell down. She said, boy, I'm only telling you this because I love you. And I thought, man, Mom, did you have to stab me like you did? She said, boy, it's better that I do it than somebody else. You know what? I respect that. My mother tell me some stuff to this day. She'll tell my wife, too. Why? We're joined together. Amen. What's good for the goose is good for the gander. Amen. She'll tell my wife some things. Why? She loves us. She loves us. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Amen. I'm going to give you this last one that we're going to quit. Proverbs 27, verse 17. Just come down a couple verses there. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his what?
Friend.
We should make our friends better. We really should. We should make our friends better. We should be such a place where we can rely upon them. We can remain true to them. But then we raise them up and we encourage them. Iron sharpeneth iron. Encourage them. Brother Hall, you know what he just did for you young people tonight? He challenged you guys. He says, iron sharpeneth iron. Here, I'm going to give you a challenge. I want to get you sharper. I want you praying for your pastor. I want you to get in contact with God. I want you to know God wants to hear from you. What did he do? He's trying to raise you up. And so we rely on our friends and we remain true to our friends, even when it's tough. But we also should raise our friends up and encourage them. If someone is making you dull, they're not being a good friend. They're not. Friends should encourage you. They should sharpen you. They should raise you up. If they're dulling you, get someone that can help sharpen you. Raising you up. Amen. And so abiding in the friendship, abiding in the kinship. And by the way, the first ship that you and I are born into is the kinship. As we mature, God puts us in the friendship and we make relationships. And oftentimes those friendships are going to be directly related to the kinship. If you are a rebel in the home against your parents, you're going to probably have rebel children as your friends. If you were the type of child that listened to your parents, respected your parents in the kinship, oftentimes you're going to have good friends. Doesn't always work that way, but oftentimes, because some people can deceive you and say they're your friend, and they're really not. Amen. Like the prodigal son, he joined himself up with some folks that really weren't his friends. They used him, and then they abused him. And so the kinship always comes first. The friendship comes second, and then we'll look at the partnership next week, because that's a cooperative relationship. And normally I don't have to be related to someone, but we have banded together to do something for God. And that's the partnership. And by the way, missions is a partnership. It is. It is. Amen. And so kinship, amen. Make sure at times you may have to remove from some. At times you may have to return to some. And so make sure relationships in with your kindred are always good. By the way, nobody's going to love you like family oftentimes. Now, there may be some exceptions, but oftentimes nobody's going to love you like mom and daddy. Nobody's going to like love you like a brother or sister. They say blood's thicker than water. Amen. Now, there are exceptions to that rule. I understand that. But oftentimes family is going to be there when nobody else is going to be there. Amen. So friendship comes after kinship, and then we get into the partnership. Amen. So we'll look at some of those things next week. You do this. If there's a kinship that you know that you have, start praying now. I had a kinship that was bad, and God showed me that it was bad. I thought it was good. God showed me it was bad. And guess what I had to do? I had to get on my knees and start praying. God, help me to get this relationship right. I will see this individual again. I know it. And when I see this individual, I want to get this kinship right on my part. Now, I've got nothing to do with them, but I want to get this thing right. And friendships. I've had to say some hard things to some people that were friends of mine. I've had some people that I thought were friends of mine that really weren't friends of mine that just stabbed me in the back. And guess what? All through it, I've got to say, Lord, I want to be the type of friend that I need to be. I can't control my friends, but make me the friend that I can. People can rely upon me, that people can remain true to me, and I can remain true to them, and I can raise them up and not bring them down, because that's what God wants. Young people, your training starts in the home with your kinship. You're going to be that type of person oftentimes that you're raised up with your brothers and your sisters and your mom and your dad, because your friendships will come from that. Amen. Father, bless now. As we look at going into a brand new year here in the next week or so, Lord, if you tarry your coming, we're going to have kinships that will come into our lives, and some we have removed ourselves from, some that we're going to see again, and we're going to have to return to. Lord, there's going to be friends as well that are going to be there. Some we'll have to remove from. Some we'll have to rely upon. Others we'll have to remain true to. And Lord, we'll have to raise others up. And Lord, help us to abide in the friendship and abide in the kinship, Lord, and to do those things that are pleasing in thy sight. I do pray that you might work in our midst, God, helping us to be the right kin that we need to be and being the right friend that we need to be. And then, Lord, we get into the partnership. Help us to partner the way you would have us to. Lord, each one of us has a responsibility. And I do pray that you would help us to pray, Lord, to seek your face, to seek your hand, to seek your guidance on our kinships as well as our friendships, that we may have those kinships and relationships that glorify you and that bring others closer to Christ and into that relationship where they can be, Lord, called our friends as well as your friends. And we thank you, Lord, that you call us your friend. Guide us now, Lord, in the rest of our service. Give us safe traveling mercies as we go our separate ways tonight. Lord, bring us back to our destination this Sunday. I'm ready to hear your word and support Tino in his baptism. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.